praise right now before we go any further. I know you're tired from a week of ARC. I know we should have let you stay home and sleep tonight. But why don't we give him some high praise? Why don't we magnify him according to his worth? We magnify you. We praise you. We lift you up, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. Now we're going to have a little bit of a different service here on a Sunday night. And there's several things I want to deal with. And they are all good. But we need a little extra time and don't want to keep you here all night. So there are some important things we need to talk about. And God is moving and the church is moving. When they saw that cloud begin to move, they had to pack it all up and move. When they saw that fire, if it was in the middle of the night, when they saw the fire begin to move, they had to get up and begin to move with the fire. Praise God. And they didn't want to be anywhere where he was not. Moses said, Lord, if your presence doesn't go up there, then don't take us there. I want to be where the presence of God is. I want to be where the word of God is flowing. I want to be where the anointing is. Listen to me. We're in a world right now where the prophecy of the word of God is just breaking forth on every hand. If you ever doubted the word of God, don't you know that Israel is in the land and this word of God called it from 2,700 years ago? Don't you know that Ishmael is there at the door warring against his brother? Don't you see the marching of armies preparing for the events that are spoken of in the word of God? My God, this is a day of powerful prophetic fulfillment. And if you never have had a Bible study, you need to have one. And if you don't understand the prophecy of the end time, you need to wake up and smell the word of God right now. Because the word is already giving you a sign. God gives signs, but if you don't know what the sign means, you go right over the cliff. If you don't know what the sign for the curve means, you just go right. If you don't know what the railroad sign means, you broadside the boxcar. God's given humanity many signs, but they don't know what the signs mean. You know what it means by the word of God. You need to get in the word of God tonight. This is not a day to be outside the church. This is not a day to be halfway in and halfway out. This is a day for the church to rise up in the fullness of what God has called her to be. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, we're gonna take a text tonight, and then we're gonna do some celebration and take care of some things that are moving in the Holy Ghost for this church right now. Psalms 107, and we'll begin with verse 23. And everybody that had a blast at ARC, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. My legs are sore. Said, my legs are sore. Well, where you been, son? I've been to church. Three nights in a row. Praise God. When we first got into the red building over here, after having been confined to vertical worship in the white building for a while, we used to have a prayer line, and I prayed for everybody and quickly found out that's a bad idea because I'm a bottleneck and you need to be praying for one another. But anyway, we were doing it that way. And so I would say, what have you come for? And they would say, my legs are killing me. And after I got about third or halfway down the line, it dawned on me, these people have shin splints. Because in that white building, it was like this. And the floor was kind of like a trampoline. It moved. And if I jumped over here, you jumped right there. If you were a visitor, we could get you going. One of us on either side of you, you were like, my God, what is it? But when we got in that red building, man, we had aisles. We had a place to get out and go, and people were getting out and going. And it took us a while to get in shape for that building. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to tell you this. We're going to be in a building that will wind you on one lap. I'm just telling you where we're going. Psalms 107, and beginning in verse 23. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I wasn't raised in that kind of church, and if you come from the same kind of background or no church background at all, then you might need a little clarification on what I'm talking about with regard to all that physical activity. But when you worship God as per the word of God, it's all motion and it's all activity, and there is nothing in it at all about stoicism and calm and quiet and still. But it is, clap your hands, all you people, shout to God with a voice of triumph, praise him in the dance, praise him with a timbrel, praise him on musical instruments. Let everything that has breath give praise unto God. And sometimes that Holy Ghost will get on you, and you've just got to do something. And there's nothing in the world like Pentecost. There is nothing in this world like the church of the living God. I tell you, I am so glad they let me in. I sat in that conference this week and I wept over the beauty of the moving of the Spirit of God. And what was in my heart was, thank God they let me in. Thank God somebody told me the truth. Thank God they had a heart for souls. Thank God they had an open door for me. Psalms 107 and 23. I'll get there directly. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths, and their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. And then they are glad because they be quiet, and he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Everybody say, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, let's give him praise and thanks for it. If you love his word, let's give him praise and thanks for it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you have to, shake yourself. If you've got to get that weariness off of you, shake yourself. Praise God. Praise God. We just finished our 14th Alabama Revival Conference. Praise the Lord. And what does it mean? And what have we done? And what does it mean for this church? If you're a visitor here tonight, we're going to be dealing with some things very specific to this church. I'm not going to give you 10 ways to be as successful, whatever you are. You'll have to come back or probably go elsewhere. But I think there's something here for you, because I can't tell you what direction we're going to go off into. But we have a purpose and a vision for ARC. And in its inception, we thought It's not enough that we have revival in our own four walls. But we want to communicate revival concept to somebody else. We want some young home missionary. We want some trooper in the Lord's army that's been down there in their little town just banging it out with the enemy. We want them to know that it is possible to have revival. Everything around him is saying you can't have it. It'll never happen. You can't keep the holiness. You can't keep the apostolic doctrine. You can't keep the right word of God and have revival. But we wanted them to know that you could have revival and maintain an apostolic lifestyle and maintain an apostolic perspective. The purpose and the vision was to start something that would send out the wave of revival in all directions. It's like setting a fire and then just saying, let's see what happens. Let's see where it goes. Let's see what will catch on fire. Let's see how far this thing will burn. You know, you might start a little one, but friend, when they get those Santa Ana winds and they get a little wind blowing, and that is the biblical type of the Holy Ghost, you start yourself a little fire and the wind of the Holy Ghost begins to blow on that fire. There is no telling how far it will go and what the consequences of it will be. Well, praise God. We wanted to start a fire and we've got it. We've got the kindling going now. We wanted to start a fire, and we've got a little something going now. We've got a little bit of a fire going right now. If you were in the middle of that, and you thought that that was the inferno that is to come, I want you to know, oh, friend, we've just got a little something going right now. But the wind's going to blow on it. The wind of God is going to blow on it. There's enough fire there to burn up a city. There's enough fire there to burn up a city. There's enough fire there to set a whole state on fire. You say, well, that's never happened before. I believe God wants to do a new thing. I believe God wants to do something that you've never seen before, that you've never heard before, that you've never known before. I'm glad 30% of you believe that. Well, praise God. I believe he's going to do something extraordinary. Now, I want to say thank you to the church family here. Because you have stepped up. We've moved the venue for this conference from the Coleman, and we moved it into Birmingham because we outgrew our facilities. And guess what we did Friday night? We just had our third year here, and the room we're in is too small. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We had so much very fine help in this conference. First, I want to say thank you to Sister Pam Dodd. Won't you stand up, Sister Pam? Our special events coordinator. And Sister Pam has done an awesome and a wonderful job. And she is so detail-oriented that it moved like a big old clock ticking. And she may not have thought so from where she was standing. And she might have thought if the preacher will stay out of the way, it'll work like a clock ticking. But because I snafu'd her several times there, just messed up her program and brought things to her at the last minute. But she really is a wonderful, wonderful administrator and does a great job. I thank her and Sister Corey and Barnabas. Stand up. And everybody that helped with Barnabas, won't you stand up? In hospitality. Brother Jerry and Sister Sarah. Sister Sarah's off probably with her dad or taking care of something like that. And she had too much fun at ARC or something. But the last night, there was a big old bowl of crawfish stew, and there were those killer chicken salad sandwiches in the croissants, and oh my goodness gracious, Brother Emery told me today when I was taking him to the airport, he said, you know, we don't need to go to any of those restaurants. What was up there in that room Friday night? That's what we need every night. He said, that's what we need. So wherever we took him, he liked yours better than those nighttime restaurants. Don't get your hackles up, Brother Joe. Praise God. So I appreciate Sister Corey and Barnabas. She has a great zeal for ministry. And all of you that are helping her, doing a wonderful, wonderful job. Sister Vita handled decoration. I think she took care of the plants on the platform and all of that. And that had such a nice, added such a nice setting to that. And Sister Charlotte Fox was involved in any number of things. I don't have a list of what she did here. She was coordinating prayer and just heaving and hoeing and taking care of all kinds of things that needed done in the middle of the conference. It's good to have utility people who will just step up and do whatever you need them to do. And Sister Linda Pate and Sister Shauna Tyus for their wonderful brochures and their mail outs, and they handled all that. And guess what? We're going to go 5 states next year, so you got a lot more work to do. Praise God. Praise God. And your flyer and the approach you took there was so nice that when they made the cover for the CD packet, they just pirated yours. And it worked beautifully. And it gives us good continuity. Praise the Lord. Brother Joe Meehan was not here. And we survived ARC without him. One of the reasons was that he prepped us really, really well before he left town. And he was on call while he was out of town. I had some doubts, Brother Joe, of whether or not we could do that or not. But we killed our own giant this week with you out of town. It worked fine. And did you have a good time? That's wonderful. You weren't miserable thinking about us? Okay, good. Good, good. I want to thank Brother Bart and all of those who participated in setting up and tearing down. Why don't you stand up? Brother Bart stepped in for Brother Joe this year. If you were there Wednesday morning early, or you stayed late on Friday evening, I want you to stand. Let's give them a hand. These guys did a lot of work. They did a lot of work. Praise God. And our media team, Brother Randy and Brother Dustin, Corey, and all of those that participated in that did an excellent job setting us up and getting us ready. And praise God. So that's my list. Now, if you were involved and you did things, I want you to know that about 80% of the church did something. And I was so thrilled because we had all hands on deck. And then we brought our own worshipers and our own praisers. And I want you to know that you set the tone for the worship and the praise in that conference. I'd see that little chain coming by and I'd say, that's New Life going there. They've got it cranking. But it helps give people a pattern and an example for worshiping with liberty. And I appreciate your response. I am so glad that Wednesday night, Brother Haney, by the time he took the pulpit, he was amazed at a conference that was in high gear. I mean, we just slipped right out of first, right into fifth, and we were trucking. I mean, we were barreling down the highway on the very first night and never looked back. And never looked back. And I want to give you... And I'm not taking anything away from God. God's got to have somebody to participate with him. God wants to have massive revival everywhere, but it ain't happening everywhere. You know, that's like trying to raise a garden without a farmer. Just have you ever just driven up beside a big old open field and a farm just appeared there and crops were there and nobody ever worked it, nobody ever touched it? I know that's ridiculous, but revival doesn't come without that same type of discipline and structure and order and work and participation and energy and zeal. Praise God. Praise God. And so thank you very much. It is a privilege for me to pastor this church and to be involved with you and to call on you and have you respond like you do. And many of you served as ushers, and many of you got together after church and baptized people and went out to the swimming pool and baptized people, the baptistry team, baptizing folks after church there in the swimming pool and brought some down here to the church and baptized them. And praise God. It's all kinds of activity going on, and we really appreciate all of our armor bearers. Who served as an armor bearer? Once you stand up. Our armor bearers were young men that followed those ministers around, and just anything they needed, they did for them. They were fetching and toting and getting this and going there and taking care of them, and they did an awesome job. And it's a wonderful thing to carry the coat of a prophet. It's a phenomenal thing to carry the coat of a prophet. Something can get on you. I saw a story in the Word of God where a young man carried and was touched by the coat of a prophet. And before the story was over, he had a double portion of the anointing that that prophet had. Praise God. Appreciate all the hard work and all that that went on there. Praise God. Sister Corey made preparations for us to go and take our steering committee and our sponsors and our speakers to feed them every afternoon. And Friday afternoon, we went to the best Italian restaurant in probably the whole Southeast. The best Italian restaurant in Alabama, and it's run by Mexicans. Which just proves again the value of good training. But every now and then, Oswaldo slips something that looks a whole lot like it came from south of the border in there. Before you showed up, I never did get a piece of fish in a poblano. But people walked away, Brother Joe, just shaking their heads and saying, "The half was not told me." And they said, "We've never seen it on this wise before." Praise God. But around those tables and in that fellowship, we're accomplishing the purpose and the vision of ARC, because we've got pastors from all over this district gathering together there with these men that have come up in revival fire. And that fire is spreading, and it's getting on other pastors and other church leaders. And so I read Acts chapter 2, and it said, "And they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in the breaking of bread." And those are two wonderful things. Praise God. That's why a lot of people gain 50 pounds after they get the Holy Ghost, because we are truly apostolic, and we know that it is the will of God that there is no end to the increase of His government and peace. And seems like we all increase as we get involved in the church of the living God. This was our largest and our best ARC ever. Praise God. We had people get the Holy Ghost and get baptized every night. And that was not the focus of this meeting. The focus of this meeting is to share and to communicate revival concept. But as you do that, that fire just gets on people. And we invited all kinds of people. And the fire just began to touch them. And every night people began to receive the Holy Ghost. It was the largest ARC yet. And I'm kind of trembling thinking about how this thing can begin to expand exponentially. And the question is, what does this mean? What does it hold in store for us? I'm telling you, there are others who want to go sailing with us. There are others who want to go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters. The Word of God said, if you do that, if you go down to the sea and you do business in great waters, you'll see the wonders of the Lord in the deep. Now, this, I know. know it's an analogy, and I know it's a physical type, but we're hip deep in spirituality in the reading of that psalm. That's not talking about people building boats and sailing ships and doing the marketing of a sailor, but that's talking about the people of God setting sail off into a liquid place that is off the shore and out of the defines of this world. And you've got to get away from the shore and out in that fluid world of the Spirit to see the wonders of the Lord. But he said, if you'll go out where the waters are deep, not just the little shallows, not staying where you can keep a foot on shore, a foot in the world, a foot in your carnality, but cutting loose altogether. Come on, God didn't call you into the kingdom to stay in a harbor. God didn't build you in the Holy Ghost to stay in a safe place of refuge. You were built by God and by his word and by the Spirit to see if you can sail out over the waters of the Spirit in the depth of God and see the wonders of God in the deep. My God, he didn't make this church. He didn't build this church. He didn't bring us all here so that we could have a little time here together and stay safely anchored in the shallows and come have a little shallow word and a little shallow spiritual experience. But he brought us into the kingdom of God so that we could launch out into the deep. He got on board Peter's boat and he had something in mind for Peter. And there was a great catch of fish. But he wasn't going to get it in the shallows. After he got through teaching the people, he leaned over to Peter and said, launch this thing out into the deep. Push this thing out where we can get some water under us. And after they got out into the deep, then he said, cast your net. Then he said, cast your net. You can't cast the net in the shallows. You won't catch anything. The harvest of God is not in the shallows. The harvest of God is not in dry dock. The harvest of God is not in a harbor situation. The harvest of God is out into the deep. And if I've ever heard it in my heart, ever before, I'm hearing the Holy Ghost calling this church to launch out into the deep. He's calling me and he's calling you to cut loose from our harbor experience and launch. You say, where are we going? Well, I'm telling you. It's a spiritual experience. There are no landmarks. There's no roads. There's no street signs. You navigate by the heavens. Praise God. And he said their hearts were failing them because he'd take them up to the peaks and they'd come crashing down to the depths and they were at their wits' end and they were saying, oh, woe is us. But the word of God said he made the sea a calm and he brought them to their desired haven. He brought them to where, let me tell you, so you launch out with God, you don't have to be afraid. It's going to be a wild ride. I'm telling you, it's going to be wild. We launch out into the deep. We cast a net. There's going to be stuff that comes into this church and we're going to move to the zenith and the crest of the wave, and it's going to be like, whoa, this is so exciting. But I'm telling you, there are going to be other times when we're crashing down. We're going to pray them through in the altar, and then we're going to crash down into the depths of those troughs. Anybody know that living for God is just like that? I don't want to put a damper on the service. I want to tell you that you need to pray for this family. But Brother Jerry told me just a moment ago that Mark Pelkey had been killed in a car wreck. And some of you don't even know who Mark Pelkey is. But he's a man that had more opportunity to live for God than almost anybody I've ever seen in my life. God gave him the Holy Ghost in the back of the glass doctor. God drew him and talked to him and sent him witnesses and moved on him, and he could not get away from the truth of God. Praise God. And when they pray through, we're at the crest of the wave. And on a Sunday night and at ARC, we're on the crest of the wave. When we walk down to the graveyard with them, we're down at the bottom of the trough of that wave. And that's just the nature of the kingdom of God. But we're going where God has called us, and the exhilaration of the crest and the heart-rending power of the trough, none of that's going to stop us from arriving at our desired destination. God's going to take us there. You say, Brother Sutton, isn't it an awesome thing when people come in and get the Holy Ghost? It's an awesome thing when people come in and get the Holy Ghost. It's a wonderful thing when I get a yes to a Bible study. It's a phenomenal thing when I see them dancing and shouting and worshiping God. But I'll tell you what, it's a bummer when I'm standing there at the graveside and he shot her twice right above and right below her heart and then turned the gun on himself. That's a drag. That's a heartbreaker. That makes me so mad at the devil I could spit. That makes me so angry at what hell is doing and what Satan is doing. You know what it makes me want to do? It makes me want to launch out into the deep. It makes me want to get there earlier. And it makes me want to launch out and cast a net and gather a harvest. I could tell you so many trough stories tonight, you would crawl out of this place depressed. I could tell you about how many Bible studies I've had that have died, been run over by log trucks and died in accidents. And you say, well, my God, you're a Jonas coming into those homes. No, sir, I'm not. Those events were already on the calendar, and I'm the hand of God coming in to try to interdict and stand in a place of mercy for that family or for that individual. Well, praise God. We're not just going sailing, friend, but we have the souls of men at stake. The soul of a city is at stake. And we're sailing. What are you going for? We're going for more resources. We're sailing. What are you going for? We're going for the harvest of God. We want to see the wonders of God in the deep. And the greatest wonder is the salvation of a soul. Praise God. I have no idea about where we're going with some of this tonight. Just felt a provocation in the Holy Ghost for us to sit down as a church family and talk about what we're doing and where we're going and how we're going to get there. Where are we? Where do we want to go? How in the world will we get there? I'm telling you, God's got a plan and a design for this church. He's got a destiny for every family that's connected to this church. I am so glad to be a part of this house and what God is doing here. I'm so glad that my kids are in this place. My God, I got two grandbabies in the womb sitting in this house, and I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about the prospect of what God is going to do. I'm excited. This is the greatest day to be alive in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Praise God. We picked up 10 new sponsors for ARC Friday night. We had men stand up all over that building and say, we want to go sailing with you. We see where you're going. We want to go there with you. And this is after 3 nights of torrid revival. This is after 3 nights of bucking and snorting and running and shouting and flipping and singing. And they took a look at that. And I'll tell you what, I've been watching some of them for years. And they've been watching us. And they'll come in and sit down and watch and get up and walk out. And come in and sit down and watch and turn and walk out. But not this year. This year, we had 10 of them stand and say, we want to go sailing with you. We want to get on board with you. We want to be a part of this. I'm tired of staying in the shallows. I'm tired of staying in the harbors. I want to go sailing with you. I want to see the wonders of God in the deep. Somebody say, praise the Lord. 10 new sponsors. Three of them are on the Alabama District Board.
I'm not trying to impress you with political credentials. Because I'm not impressed with political credentials.
These guys feel real comfortable around me because they know I'm not running for nothing. I'm running away from those kinds of jobs. I go to my sectional conference faithfully every year, and I give them an offering. But I go to make sure that I don't get elected to nothing. I don't want to be a sectional nothing. I don't want to be a district nothing. I want to build a church and have revival. Amen. I didn't come to build a district. I came to build a church. But in the midst of that, as we go sailing, if I can share a little bread with somebody, if I can share a little fire with somebody, well, praise God. Praise God. But what you're seeing there is a tacit agreement that the lumbering vehicle of organizational things don't bring revival. We need organization. Somebody's got to push the paper. Somebody's got to handle the receipts. Somebody's got to do the desk work for sending missionary families all over the world. That's got to happen. Somebody's got to do that. Thank God somebody is doing it, and I don't have to. But organization is good. I believe that, or I wouldn't be a part of the United Pentecostal Church. It is the greatest branch of the apostolic tree that's in the earth today. And we are so unorganizational and non-political. We've got people sitting on this pew here tonight that had no idea who Brother Kenneth Haney was. You're like, who is that? He's never been here before. Who is he? Well, he's the general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church. Well, what's that? Because you didn't know, because we don't talk about that stuff. Because it's not pertinent to us having revival. And we don't exalt him because he's an organizational dignitary. But we exalt him because a man is a preacher. We exalt him because a man is a revivalist. We love him because he's got a heart as big as Texas for the things of God. Praise God. But I just wanted to let you know that we've already got three Alabama District Board members on our steering committee, and now we've got three more coming on board, and we're taking over the political process. Now, if anybody's listening on the internet tonight, we don't want your job. We're not trying to take over anything. But what we're doing is we're trying to come alongside that organizational structure and help as much as we can to breed revival in this district so that those men who are handling those jobs will have more business than they've ever had. They'll have more responsibility than they've ever had. I want their offices to be crowded with the long list of new churches and new people coming into the kingdom of God and new activity in the kingdom of God. Well, praise God. We had a family there from Jonesboro, Arkansas, Brother Cornwell's daughter and son-in-law. And they came up afterwards and said, we want to be a part of this. They're going to bring their men, instead of going to their men's conference in Arkansas, they're going to bring their men to ARC next year. They didn't know what this was like. I'm just telling you. How many prophecies have we heard that this church is going to be a part of something that's going to touch people in states all over the South? How many prophecies have we heard? I'm telling you, it's happening. It's happening. You got to get your eyes open and understand God is doing something here. Brother Chan said, I want to be a sponsor. He said, I want to bring my church men to this meeting. I want this to get on our church. Praise God. Praise God. At the end of the service, there was a young man that came up to me. He's from South Carolina. He and his wife and children had come all the way from South Carolina to this conference. They've been listening to these services in our archives on the internet, and they like the attitude and the atmosphere and the word of God that moves in this church fellowship. They saw the list of people that were going to be speaking at ARC, and they packed up their bags and they drove from 10 or 11 hours away and came to go to church. They came to go. What does that tell you? Somebody wants to go sailing. Somebody wants to get on board the boat. You're not by yourself. Go ahead and be radical about the things of God. Somebody wants to launch out into the deep. And I'll tell you, when people start talking like that, when people start acting like that, God comes down on it. God comes down on it. The book of Malachi said, they that love the Lord spoke often one another concerning him, and the Lord heard it. You're talking about God and you're talking good and about the good things of the kingdom of God. God's listening in on it. Praise God. And the word of God said he writes their name down in a book. They're talking about me. He said, I'm going to make them my jewels when I return. That's a decent paraphrase. You know, we were sitting at a table at your place, Brother Joe, And I got there late, and I let everybody else get situated, and I sat down, and I wound up with Brother Emery and Brother Clark and one of the missionaries, Brother Demas, and we were just talking about the things of God. Brother Godwin was here. We got to talking about the things of God. And there was as much anointing in your restaurant and at that table as there was in that service that night. There was as much anointing floating around. But as I noticed and I watched, when somebody would begin to talk about, well, did you hear about old so-and-so? He's not with us anymore. Or did you hear about this church? They've split or fractured. Or did you hear about that? It was like, whew, that anointing would lift. But as soon as they got to sharing nuggets and gems and cross-referencing scriptures together, whew, Holy Ghost all over again. Holy Ghost came down on that thing. It matters what we talk about. And I'm telling you, it's okay to be radically spiritual. It's okay to be predominantly spiritual. It's all right to talk about the things of God all the time. All you people do is talk about the things of God. My God, what else is there to talk about? God's listening in. He likes it when you talk about it. Praise God. Praise God. There's an anointing. There are people that want to go sailing with us. My God, we need to make sure that we're able and that we're ready. Praise God. I don't know. Somebody tell me that was involved in it. How many chairs did we put out Friday night? You put out another 100? Well, that's 980 chairs then. We had the better part of 1,000 people in the house. Now, see, you don't get that because maybe you weren't there those first years in those day sessions when there were 20 of us or 15 of us. But my God, I'm looking out there and I'm saying this building is full. And you know what you're seeing? Let me get you ready for something. You know what you're seeing there? You're seeing new life at 1,000. You know what you're seeing there? You're seeing new life at 1,000. Make no mistake about it. That's exactly what this church is going to be when it's running 800, 900, 1,000. You say, well, why are y'all excited about that? Because that's 1,000 souls that aren't going to hell that are going to heaven. Why are you excited about that? Because that's 1,000 people who are in families that are intact. That's 1,000 people that have hope, that didn't have hope before, whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they weren't there before. My God, if you don't understand why 1,000 born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, washed in the blood, is exciting, you don't know anything about the kingdom of God. Well, it's not all about numbers. Well, pray tell me, what is it about? Everything is about numbers. If it's not about numbers, just tell your boss, forget it when the paycheck comes out. Lady at McDonald's gives you 3 fries instead of a whole pack. Just remember, it's not about numbers. You're out of your ever-loving mind. Everything's all about numbers. That's why the FBI used to hire 2 types of people, lawyers and accountants. Everything's about numbers. I don't have time to go off there. But I stood on that platform and I saw new life. Now listen to me, I've seen new life this size. I've seen a whole lot smaller than this. And I've seen new life this size. And I've seen new life this size. And I've seen now this size. But as I stood there, just as sure as I saw this when we were in the storefront with 12 people and a green piano and a flat top guitar and a tambourine player, just as sure as I saw this from that storefront, this church is going to run 1,000.
Amen.
And I don't believe that I'm putting a lid on it there. I'm just telling you what you saw. The reason I'm exercising this is because If you were there Friday night or Thursday or Wednesday and you saw that building and you saw it full, that's what an apostolic revival church of 1,000 looks like. Now, you've got a template in your brain. Now, you've got a vision and you didn't have one before, but now you've got one. Now you know what revival looks like on that. You know what you know? You know where we're going. You didn't know before. But now you know what it looks like. You know what it looks like. You know what it sounds like. You know what it feels like. It's like this, it's just a lot bigger. It's like this, it's just a lot powerful. It's like this, it's just a whole lot better. Why is it better? Because one of you sets 1,000 to flight. Two of you sets 10,000 to flight. If you continue the progression, three of you put 100,000. I don't know what 1,000 will do. Shake a city is what it'll do. 1,000 people without the Holy Ghost is just a crowd. But 1,000 people filled up with the Holy Ghost can shake a city. 1,000 people without the name of Jesus is just a convention. But 1,000 people with the name above every name on their lives, my God, it's like an army marching terrible with banners. I thought I was just going to talk this tonight, but I can't talk it. It's like fire shut up in my bones. My God, I can see it. I can see it. Are you okay? I'm not okay. I'm not ever going to be okay again. This thing has disturbed me. Praise God. We had the biggest day sessions that we've ever had. Had 250 people, huh? Maybe over 200 people in those day sessions. That's double what we used to get. Praise God. That's 10 times what we had when we first started. Praise God. What does that mean? That means more people want to go sailing with us. And one of the most profound services that I have ever been in my life, I was in Friday morning with Brother Sam Emery. Get the tape. It won't do it justice. The word is still good. And I mean, you can break it and you can eat it on the way to work or in your house or whatever. But friend, I'm just telling you, those day sessions are about to blow up. They're about to blow up. Praise God. We've already asked Brother Emery. We're not going to let him preach at night next year. We've already asked him. If you want to hear him, you got to come during the days. You say, well, I got to work. Well, you take vacation off for other stuff. Try it. Go talk to your boss and just, you take off for what you want to take off for. Hey, how about we go sailing? How about we go sailing and see what we can find out in the deep? I believe we can have 1,000 people in the day sessions. My God. Praise God. I mean, you never know till you try. Go to your boss and say, hey, I'd like off Wednesday during the day for about 3 hours. I want to go to church. I mean, you don't know till you try. Praise God. Biggest day sessions. I want everybody to sit down, and I want everybody that's under the age of 20 to stand up and come up to this altar. Praise God. You were blowing those preachers' minds. You were blowing those preachers' minds. I don't know how many times they said, look at those young people. Look at those kids. Look at those young. Watch how they worship. Look at what they're doing. Look at how they're responding. You were scaring Brother Clark to death. He said, I know how to work the service and I know how to work the sermon when they're sitting down. He said, but they wouldn't sit down. They wouldn't ever sit down. It's like, I didn't know what to do now. I said, get out of your nest. Get out of your comfort zone. These kids are hungry for the word of God. Praise God. Why do we want to go sailing? There's a million reasons we need to go sailing, but I'm showing you quite a good number of reasons why we need to sail out into the deep right now. We can't wait until the darkness comes. We can't wait until they're 16, 17 and hooked on drugs and out in a bar or given up to sorcery or prostitution or perversion. My God, we need to sail out into the deep and see the wonders of God. We need an anointing on this church. I said we need an anointing on this church. Because the anointing destroys the yoke. It's the anointing that raises up a babe out of Hannah's barren womb and makes that babe a little boy with a linen ephod padding through the house of God. It had never happened before. I want you to know the anointing will raise up things that have never happened before. Samuel becomes priest and seer and prophet and Agag killer and the anointer of kings. From his mother's womb, because the anointing of God touched him. We need to go sailing. We need to go sailing. It's the anointing of God that raises up a David out of his daddy's sheepfold and makes him a killer of lions and bears and giants and the sweet psalmist of Israel. And a prayer warrior so powerful that when he died, they didn't talk about the giants or the lions or the bears or the throne. They said the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. That's what the anointing does. It raises up the beginning of the throne of Christ out of a sheepfold. My God, parents, we need... It's not enough to live a carnal life. It's not enough to walk through this place and just pay the bills and just have a life and a car and a house and a little bit of something on the side. It's not enough. We've got these children here that need to grow up under the shadow of the anointing of God. We've got to go sailing. We've got to cut loose from these natural things and set forth into the deep. Well, praise God. Praise God. Can you say praise the Lord? All right, children, I'm going to have you come back up in a little bit, but you can be seated. This was a trial run. You did wonderfully. Praise God. We had three missionaries. First year, we've had three missionaries there. And Brother Barclay from Chile raised partners in the sum of another $470 a month, or for a four-year hitch, he raised $22,000 at that conference for his budget. Brother Demas in Germany, $420 a month, or $20,000 for the course of his 4 years in Germany. And Brother Patterson, who is Brother Joe Patterson's son from Dothan, Brother Patterson is our missionary to Romania, a wonderful guy, and he raised $510 a month or $24,000 committed in that conference. Let's give God a hand praise for that. Why does that matter? That matters because this conference is not just about Alabama. We're going to help send people to places we can't go. We're going to raise funds and bless people. They got to sit in a revival atmosphere. They got to come and be fed and rub shoulders with great, great preachers like Brother Cornwell and Brother Godwin and Brother Emery. And it was just a wonderful spiritual sabbatical for those missionaries. Praise God. Praise God. And I want to appreciate the response from New Life. You really, really are so wonderfully responsive. They got free rooms from the Foreign Missions Division, and we fed them for free, and we just carried them for those days that they were with us. For home missions, our home missionaries that are in the district were invited to come, and home missions department paid for their rooms and took care of their meals, and we fed those that came and traveled with us. And at the end, we were just about brain dead,
It was about 1:30, quarter to 2 on Saturday morning. We were finishing up with the last business session. And Brother Davison said, let's do something for a home missionary. And so we just kind of looked at one another like you do when you're brain dead. We were just doing good to speak cogently. And then he said, I'll tell you, somebody's been a blessing to this conference. Brother Darrell Freeman's been a blessing to this conference. Praise God. And so right then, I'm real quiet because I got to recuse myself. I'm too close. But I'm saying, yes, yes, do it. Do it. That's right. That's the thing to do. Do it. Do it big. But I can't say that. But I'm thinking that as hard as I can, like telepathy. And they're all hearing, do that. Do that. In their head. And so I cleared my voice. And after they had decided they wanted to bless Brother Freeman, I said, his transmission just went out on his van. And they said, well, how much would that be? And somebody said, that's going to be $1,200. So there's going to be a check in the mail to Brother and Sister Freeman. Our beloved home missionaries. You say, well, what is that about? I'm just telling you, three nights of revival, all kinds of good things are happening because we're sailing out. When you leave the shore and begin to sail out into the deep, good things begin to happen. Good things begin to happen. I mean, we could start at one end. I don't think we'll ever know the depth and the breadth of all the good that went on as a result of these 3 days of revival conference. I just thought it's worth it for us to spend a little time saying, what does it mean? Why are we doing this? Praise God. Praise God. I left our meeting right before 2 o'clock, around 2 o'clock, and I walked down to see if y'all were still loading up. And thank the Lord, y'all were gone already. Long gone. And it was dark in there. And I like to be here after church. Because there's an afterglow. There's like the residual of spiritual activity in a building that's had a lot of prayer and worship in it. And so the lights are off. There's a little ambient light coming in from the doors. And I waited a minute, let my eyes adjust. And I walk in. And it's so quiet, it roars. It's like being in a tomb. And I'm walking through. And I'm thinking about Clark's angels. But they're gone because they're there because you're there. And when you leave, they leave. They don't live at the Sheraton. But I'm walking in, and there's like little aftershocks, like little things in the spirit still going off in there. From where somebody got the Holy Ghost, or somebody made a pledge to God, or somebody made a commitment, somebody tore away from something that had them bound. And there was still this spiritual after effect moving in the building. I'm walking through, and I'm thinking, this place is dead as a hammer. Nothing in here now, because it's not the place. It's the church. The angels of God were there, and then they weren't. Power of God was there. And it's never been about the place. It's always about spirit and truth. Praise God. So there's nothing special about this building. Other than we're glad to have a roof over our head and air conditioning. And I thank God for the privilege of worshiping indoor. I have worshiped in a Nipah hut before. This is much better. As I'm walking through there, I had a distinct impression. We won't be back here. And so I walked across the way there, says Pam, to where the Free Will Baptists were getting ready to crank up. Well, they don't crank anything. They just kind of hang out. But it's big. It's got a high ceiling. It's really a big room. What's the next size up? About 3,000?
Yeah.
That's about right. That's about three times what we were. Do you know what? With the momentum that we have from this meeting, we could easily fill up a 3,000-seat room next year. It took us 3 years to fill this one up, but the kingdom of God is exponential. One seed brings forth a handful. A handful brings forth a barrel full. A barrel. You do that four or five times, you cover India with knee-deep wheat. Praise God. This thing can take off exponentially if we launch out. I want to go sailing. I want to see that. I want to see that. And then I stuck my head in another one that's about 5,000. And then I got to thinking. I didn't walk down there. It was way too late and my legs are sore. But we had General Conference right around the bend there. And one that'll seat about 20,000. Okay, I'm out beyond you. The arrows are beyond you. I'm out beyond you. I can see those big rooms filled up. And we have talked about filling up an arena. And I just glibly said Legion Field, but I'd much rather be under a roof there at that. It's all right to you as long as we're launching out. Let's launch out under a roof with air conditioning. What do you think? What do you think God can do in a city of a million in the metro? What do you think God can do in a district, a statewide area? What do you think God can do? What do you believe God is able to do? Praise God. Praise God. We'll have to have a new room. This time we'll send out ads to 5 states. Sister Pam, are you taking notes? We're sending out ads to 5 states. Sister Tyus and Sister Pate. We're going to have to make that many more flyers and send out that many more letters. And we can do that because we have 10 more sponsors. Praise the Lord. What do you think? You think we can double this year? I could pull some scripture out on you here as your faith is. My God. We just had a few of the people from Alabama in the churches in Alabama. My. This thing has a capacity to spin out of control. Now, how many of you remember Brother Clark preaching about giants Friday night? And down toward the end of the sermon, he was talking about working over a giant so that every time you whooped him, he got smaller and smaller and smaller. Any of you remember that? Yeah. How many of you remembered at that moment, how many of you remembered a dream that Sister Sutton had? She had a dream about 10 years ago, and I should let her tell it, but she doesn't want me to. No, I'm not launching out all by myself. She's coming across a darkened parking lot. And God, when he's dealing with you about something yet to come, he will often give you a sign that is clearly supernatural to you concerning some immediate thing so that after it happens, you'll know that what he told you is going to come to pass. That makes sense to you? She's going across the parking lot, and people from this church are coming toward her. Some have problems. Some have situations in their lives. And they're going to be revealed in real time just as they were being revealed in that dream. And there were people that were walking alongside them and in a crowd there coming across that parking lot. And the Holy Ghost told her she had to fight those people. They were like negative influences. And I don't think they were representative of people at all, but representative of spirits. And so she didn't know how she would fight those people. And so she just started kung fuing them. Yeah! And after the first couple, she was laying waste. She was like Samson with the jawbone. She was just taking them all down. Got an attitude. Now, have you, any of you guys have a wife that when she dreams a dream and she wakes up, she's still feeling like she felt in a dream? Mad at you? Or it's not good when your wife wakes up having beat up 100 people and looking for more. That's not good. But she takes them all on, and she's laying waste to them, and she's beating them up, and she goes into an arena, a big church situation. And up on the stage or the platform, there's a great big man all greased out and muscle-bound, and he's flexing, and he's preening, and he's showing himself. And the Holy Ghost says, now you got to fight him. She said, I can't fight him. How will I fight him? And the dream stops. She wakes up. 2 or 3 years later, she steps right back into that same dream at the same point she left off. And she's there, and the big guy's on the platform. And we thought at the time that it was the strong man of this city. Those are biblical terms. Before you take a house, you got to bind the strong man. The things that she saw regarding the people that we knew coming through that parking lot, those things came to pass just like her dream had said. So we knew this was prophetic, and we knew that what else God said was going to come to pass. When she stepped back into the dream 2 or 3 years later, she sees the guy, and she's arguing with the Holy Ghost again. I can't fight him. And he said, fight him just like you fought the others. So they start making their way toward one another down the aisle, and she just hauls off and gives him one, and she pops him, and when she does, he gets a little smaller. Oh, and then she sees the program. So she just wades into this big monster, and she's just giving him what for, and dust and sweat's flying, and every time he's getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until he's a midget. He's still muscle man, but he's a little bitty muscle man. And she says to the Holy Ghost, can I kill him? Yeah, you think you know my wife. You think you know my wife. Can I kill him? And the Holy Ghost said, no, he'll always be there. But he won't have dominion. He'll always be there. Now I'm just going to tell you. I believe the Holy Ghost quickened Brother Clark the other night. And I believe what he spoke was a prophetic affirmation of what she saw. And I believe ARC is the place that the strong man of this city and perhaps this region is going down. And every time we hit him, every time we engage him, he's getting smaller. It's already started. It's already started. It's already happening. Every time we engage in worship or the word of God or our faith, he's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise God. What does it mean for this church? What does it mean for this conference? I believe our spiritual destinies in this church are tied up right now with this conference. I really do. That's how important I think this conference is to this church. And almost everybody here had a hand in it this year. Next year, I want everybody to have their hand on it in some measure or in some fashion. I want us all hands on deck, because I believe we've got the position and the leverage and the anointing in this church family and in that meeting to take down the strong man of this city. Praise God. Do you have anybody that you love that's bound up right now? Do you have anybody that, are you battling some things in your own life? I want you to stop for just a moment. Lift up your heart. Lift up your hands. And I want you to ask God what you need to do. I want you to make yourself available. What do I need to do to win a victory in this city? God, I want to launch out into the deep. Mighty God, I want to launch out into the deep. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. After you've prayed it in your understanding, pray it in the spirit. Ha. Ha. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm almost done. Brother Emery and Brother Howard, and Brother Godwin, that are very, very closely associated with the revivals that have gone on in the valley there in California. Modesto and Sacramento and Stockton, Fresno, they've preached in all those churches. All of those men, Brother Booker, Brother Wilson, Brother Randy Keyes, Vaughn Morton, all of those men were pastors of churches that came together many years ago, and they put together a conference. They called it PSR. It was Progress, Strength, and Renewal. And everybody that's familiar with that conference that comes to ARC says, oh, this is like PSR in the early days when the sweetness and the anointing was there. This is like PSR in those early days. Brother Emery called it PSR the other night. He stepped up to the mic and he said, I'm so glad to be here at PSR. And they hadn't had that conference in years. But it reminds them so much of it. The mixing of faith and the launching out and the anointing in the place. They didn't carry on that conference it's no longer in existence, let me say that. All of those individual churches, though, have their own conferences. But all of those churches are running over 1,000. Brother Randy Keyes will have 2,000 there on a Sunday morning. Brother Wilson and that church, that great church at the Rock, they have a brand new auditorium they're about to get into that will seat 2,500 in its first stage and 5,000 in its second stage. Now you talk about a handful for the devil in California. They were all connected with a conference that was supported by them and energized by them, but it was really a conference for others. And that's what ARC is. We're opening up, we're playing host to anybody who wants to come and have a drink from what you're drinking from every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. You know, you don't understand. You that haven't been around and you that are new to Pentecost and all, and you that haven't traveled, you hear people say, you don't know what you have here. But you don't know what they're talking about unless you've sat in dead apostolic church for any length of time. My God, deliver us from dead church. I'm telling you, there's a parallel between what happened in the valley in California and what's about to happen in Alabama and in this conference. I'm glad I got 12 of you on board there. I'm glad you're on board, because all it takes is a few. I know I'm out there in Looney Land. I know I'm out there in Looney Land. I've had apostolic pastors call me a space cadet before. And I kind of like it. Are you offended by that? I am a space cadet. This is beyond my time. What is, Melissa, what does Buzz Lightyear say? Who told me that? Thank you, Brother Dwayne. Everybody say infinity and beyond. I mean, what kind of church you want to have? You want to have the expected and not much more. The usual and don't trouble me anymore. Same old, and that's good enough for me. How about let's launch out into the deep? How about infinity and beyond? My God, why not in prayer and in praise? Praise God. Praise God. Now I'm going to talk to you about something. Okay. Every month, Sister Sutton writes a foreign missions check for like $1,000 to our foreign missions pledge. And we don't come to you for special foreign missions giving. Unless we have a missionary here, like when the Dross were here, and we do something special, and we pass the hat for them. When our missionaries are in the area, I always tell them, come by. Even if we don't have a service, we want to feed you and put you up and give you an offering. So when I meet with Tremaine and Vicky Simino when they're in town like they were last month, we'll feed them and we'll give them a nice offering. And we don't send it into headquarters, and we're not interested in credit. And you'll never see it in a magazine. And this church will never win a plaque for it. We give to home missions on a regular basis. We have supported, personally, this church has supported several home missions enterprises. And when Brother McNeely needs a revival, Brother John Hagedorn goes down, and we don't receive an honorarium from that home missions pastor, but rather this church pays an honorarium to him. When they go and preach for Brother Deckard in Gunnersville, we don't receive an honorarium from that home missions pastor, but rather this church. And I don't tell you we need to take up an offering tonight for home missions. Don't do that, do I? We just take what we have and we just use it for the most good we can get out of it in a responsible way and in the spirit of good stewardship. This past week, Sister Sutton and I went down and we put a sound system in at Centerville for Brother Butch and Sister Ashley. And now he can be loud. And the people in that church probably hate us now, because he's been preaching to them just acoustically. Now he's the sound man, because that's what you are when you're a home missionary. You got the dials. Guy on the back row isn't moving. You can move him. We took him a sound system. I didn't take up an offering for that. I didn't even make a deal of it. I just said he needs a sound system. And we went down, we bought one, and we took it down to him. Gave him a seminar. And I didn't charge him for the seminar. Why? Because we are about building home missions churches. We're about helping home missionaries and foreign missionaries. Praise God. Praise God. And if our elders need something and they have a need and we can help them with it, we do it, and we don't pass the hat and we don't make a big deal. And I don't come to you, the elders are dying. Do we do that? No. If we have a disadvantaged family in this church that needs something, if we have a little mom with several children that needs a haven in the middle of a storm in her life, we'll put her up, we'll pay her rent, we'll do what we need to do to keep her on her feet so she can get her kids in the house of God. And we don't tell sad stories and we don't pass the hat. We just do it because it's the right thing to do. Praise God. Praise God. And so that's the way we operate. But it's time to launch out into the deep and do business in great waters and see the wonders of the Lord.